Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is 21st. Yeah, because yesterday was inauguration.
We have a new president. The 45th administration of these United States is over. We made it. Thank you, Jesus.
We made it. We are definitely going to cover that.
We'll hold off a little later in the show.
Maybe not to the end. It's a little later, but definitely needs to be acknowledged that.
My God, it's so faithful.
The fuckery is over.
Now we just going into some different fuckery.
Well, yeah, but it's fuckery that we know.
Yes. Correct.
It's fuckery that we know and can live with. But anyway, how's everybody doing today?
You know what I realized? I realized that since Trump has been banned from basically every public platform,
it's so much better.
It's so much better. It's so peaceful. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not even just me like rage tweeting or being like, this motherfucker is so stupid, or just like, it's so much calm. Everything's just, it's like, it must be like when you have rambunctious kids and you send them to their grandparents.
But you send these kids away forever.
Forever.
Like, yeah, we care about the kids. So
it's I just feel like it's so peaceful. And yesterday there was I had no outrage. I had it was just joy.
Yep.
I forgot what it felt like to not be angry every goddamn day at our country's leadership. It's beautiful.
And you know he's down in Florida losing his skull that he can't tweet or comment or anything.
His mind, and he about to get on Newsmax or OAN or the new Foxes, basically.
Yeah,
that still support him and go hard body for him, because Fox is even about to have to pivot, or has been pivoting.
They've been pivoting slowly.
But it's not the same, and he's not gonna get that same immediate engagement, and I know it's driving him crazy.
Yeah, because even if he goes on ON or News OA, whatever it is, OAN and or Newsmax or one of those, like the other networks can kind of choose to either not cover it or cover it obviously very little, like put it like way in the back. It's not gonna be headline, front page, first story of the show.
But also,
news.
Go ahead.
Remember his air is opposition.
Correct.
So on those networks, he's only talking to people who will be in agreement with
his
policies and his messages, right? Like, he only, the engagement is what fuels him.
Yeah.
And not having an engagement is going to, like, that's going to be boring to him.
He needs a fight. And he doesn't have a fight right now. Or he does, because he can still say he's being wrongfully persecuted, but like, again, like Sean said, he's only talking to people who support him. That's gonna be boring. It's also been really enjoyable watching the QAnon, whatever you call it. Fall the fuck apart.
Yeah.
And like, really, they're going through an existential crisis, because they truly, and I don't know if you want to get into this closer to inauguration, let me know if so, Jeff, but I have to keep reminding myself, because I've been on their profiles. It's the same thing like with Trump. With Obama. There are people who truly believe, like a lot of people, who genuinely 100% believe the election was stolen. Like, the same way we're clear that Stacey Abrams' election was undermined, they're very certain that this was too. Because the information they've been hearing, you know, to them, it's like, you wouldn't pursue all these legal avenues.
If it wasn't real.
Supreme Court, you know, and the things that they're told, you have to dig so deep to actually verify, fact check, and nobody's doing all of that. Like, it sounds real.
Mm-hmm.
And the QAnon theory was that the inauguration was going to be allowed to go forth tomorrow, so that on the dais, the military would seize everybody and arrest them in real time on live TV.
Really? That's what they thought?
Yes, that's what they thought. That's once it got to the point where the inauguration was moving forward,
they would pick him up to get yanked off the stage.
Exactly, and be arrested live in real time. Trump was going to cut the feed, and he was going to stay in office and start talking about people who are enemies of the state. And then when it went forth and didn't happen, there were still some diehards who were like, well, no, they had to carry it all the way through so that they succeeded in the coup so that the military can forcibly take over. And then there's another fragmented section who was like, Trump is actually still in charge. They arrested everybody this weekend, but they knew America couldn't handle it. So now Trump is the shadow government. And I'm like, are y'all serious? You can't be serious. Wow. And what's crazy is that the Q leadership or whoever the fuck they are, which basically equals people who run the message boards, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have all been like, all right, well, we tried. Thanks for coming out. like, see you next time. Have a great year. See you next summer type shit. You
guys y'all bowling on Saturday?
My mom said I gotta be home for dinner. I gotta go. Like, because the thing about this whole movement is that it really just started as some online bullshit.
Some bullshit.
And it became something bigger. And now the people who, and like, it was a way for these motherfuckers to sell merch. And now they're like really trying to back the fuck up.
Of course. Because the FBI is on niggas' necks and they're arresting people.
Okay, bro. Also, in fairness, and I am laughing because it is ridiculous and stupid, right? But the reality was, is that there were people who latched onto that movement that were credible people in that space.
Right.
And that's what I felt like sort of gave them the idea that this could possibly be real.
Yeah.
Because these people had basically, you know, legitimate careers that they attached to this. And so it's always weird because it always has this tone of every time I read about these things, it's we're trying to stop the pedophilia sex ring. There's like this obsession.
Here's what's funny, right? The whole way Pizzagate started, I don't know if we talked about this on here. The whole way Pizzagate started is that when some of the emails from the hack, the like whole Clinton email situations were released. Somebody was joking that there was a whole conversation about ordering pizza, or there'd be a lot of conversations about ordering staff pizza or whatever. And somebody on one of these threads joked that if you substituted pizza for a kid, it would sound like you were sex trafficking. And somehow this turned into a theory that pizza, every time pizza
was a code word.
It was a code word for sex trafficking and children. But the funny thing is that, and I think also there is some kind of food code for pedophilia online, which is why it caught, right? But the people who started this shit obviously knew that, which makes you want to question where they are. So out of that came this whole theory that like Trump was secretly like crusading behind the scenes in ways they could not see to, you know, take down the pedophilia rings in Hollywood and these evil people, and you know, it's the whole like Illuminati shit, but on a different level, right?
Yeah.
But with the belief that Trump was really the leader, so now the people who are really desperate to just cling to something, they're looking for codes in everything. They were seeing codes in people wearing purple yesterday. The fact that there is all this military occupation in the cities, they are completely ignoring the insurrection 2 weeks ago. And they're like, he's installing, you know, like a dictatorship. Why are all these troops here? Why is all the military here? They're taking over control. Or they're saying the military is here because they're going to seize power back from government. You know what I mean?
I'm going to say something that this is just my view. So anybody else, don't get upset. And I guess I need to clear it with all my my Caucasian and white friends and colleagues.
Hey, hold on, Naima, you better take the marker and let me know if you need Justin to edit this.
The views expressed, let me just put it, the views expressed by Jeffrey Slade do not reflect those of the rest of us on the podcast.
Exactly. All I'm going to say is this, is that the biggest marketing scheme, I guess, for lack of a better term, that has ever been pulled over in this world is that white folks are smarter than everybody else. And I think that there obviously are a lot of smart white folks. There's a lot of smart black folks, Asian folks, whatever, whatever. But the fact that there's this kind of marketing thing, that's what I'm going to call it, that white folks are definitely the smartest and the most dominant, you know, the brains in the world. And then you see this Trump thing and you realize, obviously, it's bullshit. Like, you know what I mean? But we're so trained to give so many white folks the benefit of the doubt that they must be smart and they must know better and they must, you know, be more educated and they must be more well-read than we are, so on and so on and so on. Like this whole Trump movement, this whole QAnon movement, this whole, again, because it's not just the poor rednecks in hillbillies in West Virginia.
Oh, not at all.
There's some quote-unquote educated people. There's doctors and lawyers and so on also involved in this movement. This goes to show that it's just not true, bro.
You have to know people are involved in the movement for different reasons.
So yes,
You have you have the leaders and you have the followers. So you have the people who know that they're pushing buttons and that mm-hmm. they're basically a mess. Because right now, with the collapse of the Parler app and with people becoming increasingly disillusioned at the fact that this inauguration actually went forth, there are white extremists who are jumping into these different chat rooms who are trying to basically recruit, right? Like, because mm-hmm. you out there lost and you looking for another something to latch onto, they know like this is fishing season for them. Yeah. So it's like they're at the club let out.
Yeah. So I was actually going to go a little deeper too, but I'm not because that's very controversial and I'm going to leave that alone and I'm going to move forward. So there you go. So great inauguration yesterday and we're going to talk about it. We're going to go into depth a little later on about the things that happened. Let's start the show. Inka, you all right over there?
I feel great. I got a lot of sleep last night.
Okay. All right. I'm for those who are listening, every you know few minutes or so, I'm gonna keep asking Inka if she's all right.
That is so rude.
Ain't it though? Rude as shit. I'm thinking about possibly starting a new segment on here called Fuck That Nigga. And this segment,
I can maybe get with this. Tell me more.
Okay, this is about a nigga who's on some fuck shit that we're just tired of. I know Bruh's totally into this, but he's got to watch his tone. But I nominate for the first Fuck That Nigga. Well, there's two nominations I have. Fuck That Nigga Van Jones.
Oh, I've been on Fuck Van Jones. I'm a full
1,000%.
And Fuck That Nigga Jerome, whatever, Adams, the Surgeon General. The former Surgeon General. Fuck that nigga too. Fuck Van Jones because he's obviously a opportunist piece of shit, and now he's all on Biden Harris dick when he was, you know, helping write Trump speeches and working with Jared on this's and that's, and now it's like, you know, he's distancing himself from that because obviously that's the losing ticket, and now he's trying to act like he's down. He played himself already with the whole mixing Beyonce and Mary J. Blige thing up on the night of the election, and now yesterday he's, you know, on CNN as the lead Negro. Well, I guess the second lead Negro. I guess Don is the lead Negro, but the second lead Negro. And he's, you know, bouncing around acting like he was down with Biden and Harris the whole time. So fuck that nigga.
Fans been on this bullshit, though, by the way.
Yeah. This is M.O.
He's a professional fence rider. And he, if you watch his moves, he's a kite. Whichever way the wind goes, Van's gone from radical extremist to now damn near conservative moderate. Because mm-hmm. he's been doing some bullshit with Meghan McCain.
Yeah, Meghan McCain. That was like a week or so ago.
And the reason Van, like to the point where a reason Van wears a purple tie all the time is because red and blue makes purple.
Oh, really?
What a coon.
I thought it was, honestly, this is going to sound weird, but I actually thought it was because of Prince. Because apparently him and Prince were close.
Yes, and I think that's what it started as, but now it's a symbol of, like, his...
Okay. No, I believe
you. I also don't believe that. I don't think he's cool enough to be, like, one of Prince's people.
Prince
was, like, mad cool. Like, they were, like, friends.
I think they might have known each other, but like,
yeah,
I
saw Prince is like a nice person.
Sam was like, hiccup and sobbing, talking about him one day. I don't think they was that. Because Van's not cool enough for that. Like, cool. Prince don't fuck with Corn.
Did you know his papa? This is what I want to know. If you didn't know his daddy, you weren't cool.
I ain't heard Van Jones named in no Questlove Prince stories. That's neither. What I'm talking about.
There it is. There it is. And then fuck that nigga. I think it's Jerome Adams, the Surgeon General, who, you know, participated in a lot of fuckery during the course of the pandemic press conferences they had, which seems like 4,000 years ago, and didn't, for whatever reason, look, I don't know the internal workings of what he was trying to do, but did not do enough, in anybody's opinion, to stop disinformation on this now wildly out of control pandemic. And I asked Biden and them if he could stay on, and they was like, nah, nigga, there's some cardboard boxes over here. We got HR coming upstairs an hour and a half with your final paperwork, nigga. Get the fuck out of here. So they asked him to resign, and he's gone. So,
which is good. They brought him on to fight, to do whatever with the COVID task team, and his first uttered words on a national stage were about President Trump's immaculate health.
Exactly.
Right. Remember that? Where he's specimen of a man. It's like, nigga, girl, he's not.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
Biden is clearing, again, we're going to get to this. Biden is cleaning the house.
Which is standard.
It is standard for the incoming administration to request the resignations of members of the previous administration, but they on it. Like,
yeah.
Get the fuck out.
Let's call
you. I like this segment.
Okay, cool. Let's keep it going. So, figure yours for next week.
I got a shout out, though.
Oh, please go.
I want to shout out everyone who's been training for the Olympics that apparently is not going to happen now. 2021. Japan has, according to LA Times, has privately concluded that the 2020 Olympics will have to be canceled.
I mean, yeah, it would have been, what, 4 or 5 months? And the panorama, the pepperoni ain't going away in 4 or 5 months.
We still in a pond to replay.
Exactly. So I do want to say peace to all those people, because, you know, training for Olympics is a job. It's all you do.
It is.
It's a lifelong quest. And yeah, some people might, you know, age out, or
things might happen before the next
Olympics.
Yeah,
so
you get hurt.
Or just get hurt. Yeah, wear their body down. Like, it's such a haze.
It's terrible.
It's such a haze. And also, not to mention that the fact, no matter how hard you train, if you're out of competitive sport, you're still going to slip a little bit, and you can't compete right now. You know what I mean? Because you're training and still competing.
And the Olympics, obviously, as we know, is every 4 years. So if this one's dead, it's not again until 2024, which is a long time. You know what I'm saying? It's 4 more years. So, yes, that's terrible. That's terrible. Bro, you got any shout-outs, anything?
No, I ain't got no shout-outs. Nothing.
Bro, you down south, right, bro?
Yeah, I'm in South Carolina.
Yeah, how's the weather down there?
That's such a question.
Come on now. How long take it to get down on the road? Which way you go?
Which route you go?
You know, there's another route. You know, you cut through the street, cut through the towns, but you miss the take up the time. It's not too bad.
It's like, I'd probably say mid to high 40s.
It's chilly.
Like, you can't really, like you can't, I can sit outside for a little while.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, chilling.
Yeah, I got you.
Outside. But, it was, you know, it's regular. It's regular. Not too bad. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
I have a quick shout out.
Please.
Since last time we taped, I finally watched, and I'm sure I'm forgetting some shout outs, but since the last time we taped, I finally watched Bridgerton.
Okay.
That shit is funny as fuck. It's so, and I know it's not supposed to be. Well, maybe it is. It's so entertaining for the wrong reasons. But it's very addictive. You get drawn in a lot. And y'all to it, not you, Sean, but Jeff, you would actually probably enjoy it from, I'm gonna get to it eventually. That spectator perspective, because a massive part of the plot line basically exists because this nigga is too dramatic when he's pulling out having sex. And it's like, it's such a simple solve. But I'm just like, what is happening here? But I don't want to give too much away, even though if you haven't watched it by now, you don't care. But that pulled me into like a whole Netflix teen drama.
Oh, they're amazing at that. They're amazing at that.
There's this joint called Dare Me, which is super trashy, but it's kind of like if the Cheer docuseries became like a murder mystery. Mm. And now somehow I'm on like The Vampire Diaries, which is, again, dramatic for no fucking reason, but it's such good like background to have while you're doing
escapism, just kind of like just to goof off.
It's like I don't have to pay too close attention.
Yeah,
I don't have to rewind. if I miss nothing, I can be clean and then it's just on and running. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm the Netflix is great at that. Speaking of Netflix, I want to mention Bling Empire.
Okay, do you like it? That was amazing.
I'm on episode, I'm about to go episode 3. The shit is fire.
It's and amazing.
I'm not even like it's produced by the Kardashian production company. It's not the Kardashians, but the company that did that show.
Oh, Ryan Seacrest?
Wasn't it Brandon Murray?
No. Yeah, I don't know who did the Kardashian show, but apparently it's whoever was involved, some kind of way involved with the Kardashian show.
I do think it's Seacrest.
Okay. Yeah, whoever is doing this show. And if you kind of look at it, they do look kind of similar, like aesthetically. But the show is, for those who don't know, it's about this kind of group of Asian folks. I thought they were all Chinese, but actually not. There are a variety of Asian folks. There's a kid from Singapore. There's a
Korean kid.
There's a woman who's half Japanese and Russian. And there are a couple of Chinese people as well. And they're all very young. And, you know, most of them are very young and they're beautiful looking people. And their money is dumb. Like
billions.
Dumb shit. Like the woman who's half Japanese and Russian, she's the older lady. She's like
Anna.
Anna, yeah. Her father apparently is an arms dealer. So we already know a Russian arms dealer. So I don't even know how to estimate what that is.
She was serving the crew like filet mignon and caviar like when they came to her house to film.
Yeah, exactly. So I read a little bit. Apparently Anna, who's like, she's kind of like reclusive and doesn't really come out much. But somehow, I don't know how it happened, but she apparently was only planning on filming once or twice, like as a favor. She was like, okay, I don't really want to do this, but I kind of come
along. Yeah, but she's the show.
She ends up being the show.
I love her. I want to be her friend. I love her.
We
would have a good time.
There's this kid named Kane, who's from Singapore. His family is into like all kind of shit, like oil, gas, mining.
He's the oil kid, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like their money is infinite. But I'm only on episode 3, so it's very early for me. But what's interesting about the show, besides like, you know, the fashion in the houses is just like retarded, is that there's one woman who it doesn't fit this bill named Christine, but like Anna and Kane, like they're not, in a weird way, they're not really ostentatious. Like they have mad shit, but they're not like, yo, I got mad shit. It's kind of like, that's just their life. It's just kind of like how they live. That's what I'm saying. Christine is super ostentatious nouveau riche. Mm-hmm. And she, the early kind of clash is that Christine is always like dropping names and this and that. And Anna, who's this woman, again, who's born into
money. Anna is old money.
Dumb old.
Christine has only been at this level of wealth for a decade.
Exactly. So her husband is very interesting. I hope they go into him at some point later in the series. Her husband is part of the Song Dynasty. So if there were still dynasty families in China, her husband would be the emperor. that's the level that his family's on.
He's also like a plastic surgeon, randomly. Yeah, plastic surgeon. In LA.
Yeah, that's so silly. But again, I'm enjoying the show because there's like an undertone of humor to it. There's kind of, you know, there's some drama there. There's a poor kid who's a model who's from Philly, who's like adopted into a white family, and he's in LA being a model, so he don't really got no money. But him and the kid Kane are boys. So Kane be like putting them on, like, yo, like take this or buy this or whatever. Like, here, you can have this shit in my closet. But he's not on some funny shit. He's not on some like, oh, bet I'm gonna go to Kane's house and get a bunch of shit. So I'm really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it. I suggest you watch it, Nye. Because again, it's escapism. It's fun. Yeah. It ain't deep. It ain't crazy. It's just they're half hour episodes. It's like
my friends have been talking about it. We have one track group that's just about what to watch and what to binge. And my friends have been talking about it. And I'm like, this sounds insane. Whatever y'all are talking about, it sounds absolutely nuts.
It's insane. A good insane. I really liked it.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. So I just wanted to mention that. I wanted to also mention. I guess I was just going to some TV now. I wanted to mention the Tiger Doc. Have you guys watched it?
It was excellent.
Oh, that's right. You did mention it. I forgot about that.
Yo,
the shit. I was watching The Night Stalker and Crack and stuff.
I heard Night Stalker was good too. It's good. So much to watch.
So much to watch.
The Tiger Doc is fucking excellent.
I had forgotten about that, the tidal wave that he was in 1997 when he won the first Masters, like when he was up and coming and what that did to like the world.
The world, literally.
And this documentary, like, it does it justice.
It's incredible.
Do they talk about Coblin Asian?
Yes.
Yes, they talk about everything.
They show every clip he's ever been in. They show like when he was on Oprah the few times. They show all his interviews and they kind of piece it together. Like, he's not involved in the doc, but they get people that grew up with him, everybody. And his first girlfriend and like everybody.
His caddies, Steve Williams, like his pops man, his name's Pete something. Like,
They don't pull any punches about like what happened between them, why they don't speak anymore.
Yeah.
They really got in and got the right people to talk to.
They talked to Rachel, you could tell. They talked to like his wife's best friend, Elon, with ex-wife's best friend. Like, again, and I think it works that he's not actually involved in the doc because he couldn't steer the direction.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's I'm telling you, it's really good. It's really compelling. Did you see it yet, bro?
No, I didn't. I'm actually going to watch it tonight. Yeah, check it out. When I get off. Yeah.
Yeah, check it out. It's very compelling. It's really fucking.
I really liked it.
Really well done. So bravo to.
And I forgot that he came back.
Yeah. And that was just like a year and a half ago when he came back. He won like in like mid late 19. So it was it's pretty much current. You know, it's pretty much right to the point. So I definitely want to mention
really,
that.
Really well done.
One Night in Miami.
Also really excellent. Well done.
I've heard it's excellent. I wasn't in the mood for like real shit just yet.
It's not though.
I feel like I need to be like.
It's not like get mad at white people.
No, not even that. But just I need to be in the frame of mind of like historical, like enriching historical context. I don't know. I can't really explain it. I was like, I can't do it right now. I just do it.
Yeah. I mean,
I've heard it's amazing, but I've heard it's really amazing.
The guy who plays Malcolm X is phenomenal.
All of them.
True. The guy who plays Malcolm X actually is British. I didn't know that. Yeah. I looked him up.
Yeah.
He's fucking ridiculous. They're all great. There's no slacking in the acting. The guy playing Ali is great.
The beautiful thing about Ali and actually Malcolm X is that there's so much footage of them.
Right.
Like, there's an enormous amount of footage. I mean, you got footage, like visual footage of Jim Brown. You don't have a lot of engagement from Jim Brown, right? He doesn't do a lot of talking during that period.
Mm-hmm.
He talks much more later on.
As he got a little older.
Mid-80s.
Yeah.
You know, that was like 85 to like 2000. He was very, you know, there's a lot on him then, but there's so much information and so much footage and so much context about Ali and Malcolm during that particular time.
Yeah, it was. I have a little light connection to the movie. So the guy that owned Jive Records, his son Keith is now a movie producer. And he produced that. Keith Calder. So I'm really happy.
It was apparently it was written as a play.
You can tell. You can tell
when you watch the movie. Yeah, when you watch the movie and you see these, you know, such chunks of the movie take place in these very. Still positions, right?
Like small rooms.
Small rooms. And but it was very insightful. I thought it was very good that they sort of, you know, showed the flaws in each of those characters. Even Malcolm being like sort of like uber pious, right? Like they show how that can sort of like how it impacted his relationships with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy who plays Sam Cooke, Leslie Odom, Sam Cooke stand. He was great.
He nailed
so good. His mannerisms, again, even with the singing, I was so impressed.
Well, you can see, and that's the thing about Sam. There's so much about, you can emulate the singing, but what I don't think people realize was, you know, he was really a nigga from Chicago by way of Mississippi, right?
Like, yeah.
He was
a nigga, like, for real.
He's like, there are stories about his older brother, you know, like when people talk about the whole Bobby Womack shit, like, yeah, nigga, they did try to put hands on Bobby. Like, that wasn't no, they just let it slide.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So seeing him not as the refined crooner that we're used to seeing him as, and sort of seeing him as the sort of shrewd, calculating and even mm-hmm. callous to some degree businessman mm-hmm. Was very, very it was just excellent, man. It was yeah. it was really, yeah. really good.
Also I liked that they did things a couple of times to make Malcolm turn back into Big Red. They made him curse a couple of times. Like, it was slip. And I'm going to tell you, Malcolm was like, basically, like, nigga, I'm streeting and all you niggas. Like he, like, a couple of times he, like, slipped up off that kind of, like, that pious Malcolm X, you know, Food of Islam, Nation of Islam thing into, like, Big Red from fucking Boston via Harlem. Like, right. you know, nigga, like, motherfucker, like, he cursed. Like, I enjoyed that they would, like, fuck with him like that. But, yeah, I definitely recommend, that as a watch, but I also see what you're saying, Nye. Like it's a little heavy, and not yeah. it's a little heavy. You have to kind of be in the mood to watch it because it is a little
heavy. I would say it's pockets of heaviness, right? Okay. So you'll get like yeah. a 3-minute segment of heaviness, and then there's 10 minutes of them laughing and shit talking, goofing off like your uncles, yeah. right? And, yeah. and sort of engaging, and then you'll get another 3 minutes of heaviness, almost like being black during that time, right?
Right.
Like
yeah.
you had this
yeah.
heaviness, and then boom, you figured out how to get over that, and then boom, you were there for something else.
I think yeah. the thing for me was, even though I 100% understand the release timing, because it came out MLK Weekend, that already trying to process MLK Weekend in the middle of the bullshit and with inauguration ahead and with Trump foolishness, you know, close to being over, I was just like, I don't have the mental capacity to give this the respect this due when I watch it. Like, I needed mm-hmm. to be watching some shit that was either just gonna draw me in on some drama like The Night Stalker, or watch some shit that I really didn't have to pay attention.
Escape.
Exactly.
Yeah. So on piece of Regina King, she directed it, you know, great yeah. great directing job from her. Did y'all watch, is this Lupin? Is it Lupin?
I watched Lupin.
Oh, yeah, I think I told y'all I had already watched it. You enjoyed it, didn't you?
I did, but I see bro's face is a little weird, so I'm going to let him rock out.
Oh.
No. I didn't watch it. I started it, and I recognized that this was a binge watch during the day. I started it late one night, and I recognized that I'm going to end up falling asleep or not be able to.
So I said, you know what? Let me
add a low tone.
I knew, I actually could tell within the first few minutes I was going to like this show, and that's literally why I shut it off.
You saved it. I got to
binge watch this with a hero and get my chips,
yeah.
the whole process.
And the narration is really soothing. Like, he has a really even low voice that'll lull you to sleep. So
it's also one of the better. Because it's a dub. It's a vocal dub.
Yeah, it's French. It's a French
dub. And I forget it's a vocal dub. And you know, with a lot of those movies, the vocal dubs are awful. Like, it's delivered in a really wooden manner.
Mm-hmm.
The inflections are off and all that stuff. And I kept forgetting it was a dub.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed it, too. It, you know, it's a stars. I don't know the kid. I
think it's Omar Sy.
Omar Sy. Yeah, he's the lead. He's a black actor from France. And it's about these books called, I forget the name of the books.
They're called
The Gentleman Burglar. Exactly. So it's a series of books. So apparently this is going to be like a series, like, because if you see the way it ended
so abruptly. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, there's definitely more coming. But it's kind of, again, escapism. It's like, you know, if you like kind of like Jason Bourne-ish kind of, you know, like, you know, oh, how do he maneuver out of that? And, you know, there's a little bit of violence. It's not crazy. Nobody's getting, like, shot and killed or anything like that. You know, it's just, you know, they're stealing diamonds and kind of doing slick stuff and sleight of hand. And, you know, I really did enjoy it. I like the Omar Sy guy. I think he's amazing. I think he's a star. I thought the casting was incredible because the guy who played him, the kid who played him was young, looked just like him. I'm like, is that his son? This is like, this kid.
Also, his girlfriend in the younger version of, what's her just name? Like, Claire?
Yeah, Claire, so yeah. Good. Just like the casting they nailed. So I don't want to give away too much, but that's a really good series. Like 5 episodes.
It's brief because they even call it like a chapter instead of a season. I think it's like chapter 1. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So definitely check that.
That's a little. I think I've said this before. I think that's a little trick with contracts.
Oh, to extend it now.
Yeah. So
because you ain't really because we really paying
season.
I got
it's not season, right? It's chapter.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But yeah. I could be wrong.
No, you're probably right. You know, you, anybody on this show would know would be you.
Correct.
We will defer. I realize I ain't it ain't really that big a deal, but I forgot last show to talk about my detox.
Lord, how's the flat tummy tea coming, Jeffrey?
You know what? It was all right, actually. I went vegetarian a week before I started, so I wouldn't have so much like protein and stuff in my body. And I did it for 8 days. The jug lasted me 8 days because he's drinking 16 ounces a day, either one 16-ounce hit or 2 8-ounce hits, however you want to break it up. You definitely clear your schedule. You clear yourself out. But it wasn't like crazy. It wasn't like you got like diarrhea where you're like, oh, it's just like your body's just kind of flushing out, I guess, the toxins and whatnot. And I'm stick on this vegetarian thing. I've done it before. So I'm sticking on the vegetarian thing for a while because I just feel better. I feel lighter. So I haven't
had a nigga tired of that gout flaring up. That's what that is.
Well, you know what? That you ain't never told a lie now. that too. This definitely will stop. This will definitely stop the gout flare ups. And so yeah,
that nigga big toe was throbbing.
No word. I'm limping around the house.
Swiss.
I'm walking outside in flip flops in 28 degree weather. Shit.
Oh my god. like I told you on text, Swiss hype these niggas with dead stock ailments. Like yeah, how exactly. Like, they don't make the gout. And you'd be like, they don't even make this no more. Y'all got the gout.
But you saw your man got the gout fucking around Swiss Beach.
That's what I'm saying.
Swizz Beatz got the gout. Like, I don't know. I guess over the holidays he went heavy because I guess him and Alicia are vegans now. But he decided to flip it, and he said on his Instagram he had the three killers too. He had red meat. He had whiskey or bourbon flares your shit up crazy.
He was saying wine too, red wine. I think
I don't know if red wine, but definitely whiskey, bourbon, and the third one. That he mentioned.
What did he say shellfish?
Yeah, yes. He said shellfish.
Yes.
Which is why the gout used to be considered a rich man's
disease. Rich man's disease. So you must have had steak and lobster.
Wait, Sean got some things. Shane, Sean got something.
You must have steak and lobster with some brown.
I'm not saying he's lying. what I'm saying is, I don't know how you go from I'm good, I'm healthy, I'm vegan, to I had a ribeye. A double, a Macallan, and a lobster, and now my gout toe is like, I can't move. Like, I don't know how the gout works. It it sounds to me like it don't really work like that.
No, I can say this as
I think he was saying that over the course of, because they've been traveling a couple of times during the pandemic and be like out of the country. I think he was saying that he was just indulging consistently.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to make it seem like I'm making light of it. Right. That shit does. It is painful. So I don't want to be dismissive.
He was saying that
it.
He was going to have to cut back on all of those things. So I think.
I was just getting ready to say, I don't know that you go from, I'm just. I had one, you know, like I said, one ribeye and a couple of drinks, and now got the gout.
Well, I don't know, because Jeff said one day he ate a bite of his girl's shit that had some shrimp in it. And
yeah, and I'm fit all fucked up.
But my point was Jeff wasn't vegan.
No, I definitely wasn't vegan.
That's what I'm saying.
As a gout user, though, I will say that
I've actually eaten steak with this nigga. I know he wasn't vegan.
Yeah, I was eating steak. But I will say, as a gout owner, that gout will flare up on you if you ain't ready. You know what I'm saying? And Swiss wasn't ready. And if from what reading his little soliloquy on the gram, with him laying up in that motherfucker, when him laying up in that pool looking like he was in pain like a motherfucker, it's a beautiful tub he was in, but he looked like he was hurting. I don't think he knew. I think this might have been his first gout flare up. Like, he was like, because the first time you get shit, it's like, yo, like, I was like, yo, did I hurt?
Where is that even coming from?
Yeah, I can imagine. Did I hit my foot in the gym? Like, did I break my toe?
I remember you were wild confused about what.
I was confused, and that shit hurt. And so him having those three things in whatever order he had them, amount of time he's had them, I know his shit was fire, because one of those things can fuck you up. All three? Lord have mercy. So God, please, the Swiss beats. And yes, stay away from those things, because in excess, because they will fuck you up. They will fuck you up. I want to say peace to the kid, Morpheus. We mentioned him on the show about a month ago or so, maybe something like that. He's the kid that does these mashups that I really enjoy. He takes an older record and a newer record, and he kind of blends them together, and they kind of become like new records. They're amazing. So he did one of the ones he did, which is my favorite of his to date, is he took Kiss It Better and Never Too Much by Luther Vandross. And it sounds like if you listen to it, you can't believe that this wasn't the record. They pair together so perfectly. So Fat Joe loved it too, because he's taken that record, that mashup rather, and made it the track to his new single. Got a video with Puff and Khaled and Kool and Dre and those guys. And Morpheus is in the video. And me and Brian Cox were talking about the joint on Twitter yesterday. And I was like, this is incredible. I was like, I don't know if he got any publishing, because obviously those are two big fucking artists.
Yeah,
but Morpheus tapped in and he said, nah, I got publishing.
Oh, shit. Okay.
God bless him. I said, well, shit, God bless you, boy.
Boy got a good attorney.
Boy got a good, yeah. He said, my crew takes care of everything.
No, wait, is he signed to them, or they were just,
I think they
just photographed together because they're working on his single?
I'm talking shit because I don't know, but I think he's just kind of with them because Joe took his track and put him in the video. I don't know if he's signed to Terror Squad. I mean, he might be. I don't know.
I'm going to hope not.
Yeah,
that boy ain't leave that boat without signing something. I'm almost 100%
with Puff and Joe there. Oh, something Puff
and Joe. Oh, some
and
guys and Cali.
And, Cali. Yeah, yeah.
And Cali. Yeah, somebody no got some sign.
It wasn't no. Y'all have a good night.
Yeah, this was not on the strength, my nigga.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but you know, it's great for him, and I'm happy for the kid. He's getting his exposure. He's leading to other things. I just feel there's going to be a Beyonce something, and maybe a Rihanna something, because he's done several mashups with Beyonce. And
also he might actually do well at actually being a DJ, like when things start to like pick up. I mean, he's probably going to be in high demand. I would anticipate he'll be the DJ on tours when we get back to touring, between sets and things of that nature.
Yep.
The one thing I love about the kid is that he is enjoying music. I haven't seen a young person involved in music that looks like they're enjoying music.
Yeah, like dancing, having a good time.
Yeah, they do music because they can, right? Like they're good at it and it brings them things, but it doesn't seem like they enjoy music. And he seems like he'd be doing that shit if nobody was retweeting him. He'd still be doing that shit right now.
Yeah, because he did. I mean, who knows? But I think he was just posting these mashups just because he thought they sounded cool.
Yeah, well, I think that's what I also love about him is, like, y'all know at the beginning, and I got to get back to it, but y'all know, like,
You was DJing.
I was learning how to DJ, and I got away from it. I need to get back to it. Part of the thing is that I don't have a large enough space to have one table that's just dedicated to have my turntable set up. Yeah. So sometimes I'm like, I want to get on, but I got to set everything up so I don't. But I learned to respect the artistry of it, like the creative part of it and being able to put stuff together. And that's what I think he really loves.
Yeah, definitely. So I just want to give him a shout out, man, because it's nice to see a kid, kind of his dreams are like coming true live on Instagram, and he seems to be very humble and a nice kid and just very, happy to be even this far along. So I definitely wanted to show him some love on that. Let's talk about, I kind of just saw some music shit. Now we're talking music shit. I wanted to give a shout out to, RIP rather, to Phil Spector, who is a very famous producer in the 60s to the early 70s. Didn't make much music in the mid to late 70s. Who invented a thing called Wall of Sound, which is where he would take all that. Back then, there was a lot of recordings that they used, like, live orchestras in the studio and live horns. And, there was like a band in the studio. And he kind of came up with the concept to take you know, usually in a recording, you know, there's obviously different levels to things. Like, you know, the strings are kind of tucked here, and the horns are kind of tucked here, and the, you know, the drums is kind of down the middle, and da, da, da. And he came up with the sound that the idea to take all those sounds and push them all up front. You know, so they still were leveled out, but he pushed them all up front. So, like, he literally created what's called, like, when I said, the wall of sound. So, like, the sound is just kind of hitting you. And this is, you know, obviously back before these days. So, like, Wi-Fi and hi-fi, rather, and all that stuff was not as, didn't sound like now. So it was a totally revolutionary way of making records, to kind of push everything into the front and make kind of blast you went through your home stereo or whatever you were listening to at the time.
So Tina Turner's River Deep Mountain High, like everything that's happening, like it's just big.
It's massive. It's like massive.
Big.
Yeah. And so he did the Ronettes, who was married to Ronnie Spector, who was the lead of the Ronettes. He did all their records. He actually did Let It Be by the Beatles. He did several things. I'm blanking out. He did, like, he was the shit. Like, he was the fucking, he was literally the Don.
But he was also.
But
he
was Aaliyah.
But, yo, I was getting there.
And he was a homicidal. Okay.
Yeah, I was getting there. But he's also a fucking raging maniac. And people like that, the worst thing to do with them is to give them fame and money, because it just ups the ante on everything. And he, you know, notoriously beat on his wife, Ronnie Spector, a lot. And you know, beat, you know, allegedly beat on a lot of other women, and always he had a fascination with guns. He always had guns, even from when he was younger. He always had guns around the studio, and he'd shoot the gun in the, you know, in the wall. He always had guns all the time, and he ended up shooting a woman in the 90s. Was that, I guess,
under 90 something?
Yeah, and killing her. And he went to trial. He would come to trial wearing these crazy wigs. He's like outlandish looking wigs and shit, and was guilty. He was convicted of the murder because it was kind of blatant that he killed her, and everybody knew he had a gun thing anyway. And went to prison for the rest of his life, and died at 81 last year. So he's one of these kind of like tortured souls who, you know, made this amazing contribution to music and culture, but he had this other side where he was like a fucking raving lunatic and murdered somebody. So it's just really kind of wild life, for lack of a better term. Oh, because I just want to say RP, because, you know, I had to give his props for the music. Like, he's,
but he died last year, you said.
No, he died last week.
Oh, I thought you said last year.
Jeff did say last year, but
I probably did. You know what I mean? I'm 73.
I speak fluent, Jeff.
Yeah, y'all know what I meant.
I could have sworn he had been gone to glory.
No. He was in jail all this time. He just died. I don't even know if it was last week. It might have been this week. It might have been like Sunday or something. It was very recently. No, it was last week, but it was very recently. So I just wanted to bring that up. So anyway, so I guess we could jump into the inauguration. So the inauguration was yesterday, January 20th. It was a beautiful, cold, clear day in Washington, D.C. People came out in their finest. It was social distance, so there was no crowd.
Except for Bernard Sanders.
Well, we'll get to him. We're gonna get to him too. You know, but I wouldn't expect none less from Bernard. But there was no crowd, as it usually is, because of, you know, the Bidens and the government told people to stay away.
Flag display was stunning, though.
It was amazing. Yeah,
so it was beautiful.
Yeah, what they did was they put flags all along the lawn where people would be, and it was beautiful. And they also lit these lanterns all along the side of the pool, 400,000 lanterns, which was one lantern for every person who, up to now, who has died of COVID.
Which was, sorry to interrupt you, Jeffrey.
No, go ahead.
Notably, before Inauguration Day yesterday, on Tuesday night, really the first event of their inaugural week was the first, like, nationally led memorial service.
Like acknowledgement
of, because we just crossed 400,000 people, of the lives and souls lost in the country to COVID-19. And also apparently I think in Trump's farewell speech, I didn't watch the whole thing, but somebody mentioned that Trump actually mentioned it for the first time ever, and it's almost like he was pushed to do it because they finally had a memorial service.
Yeah, they put it in the fucking teleprompter.
Right, so it was the first time that we, like, that was the note they started on. Like, we're going to honor and acknowledge these people right now. But go ahead, because I want to mention how, like, just from the door, the difference has been stark.
Oh, yeah.
Startling and almost like, wow, who, like, I realized with every single thing how much we were missing.
How much fuckery.
Over the past 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah. That, you know, Trump's inauguration was dark. It was callous. It was mean. It was, you know, 98% probably white. It was like, the Nazi party was like, yeah, we in here. That literally how his shit felt, including his speech.
There was no joy, no levity, no brightness. No.
Yeah, he was talking about carnage in his fucking speech. It was crazy. I forget who said it on the news. I forget who said it, but whoever said that, it came out recently that John Roberts, who is the judge that does the oath, told some people how much he hated doing it for Trump.
Wow.
Like he was like up there like quaking, like I can't.
That sounds like something Lawrence O'Donnell may have said.
Yeah, it might have been actually, but it was John Roberts said he was like up there literally shaking, like I hate the fact that I gotta do this for this fucking dude, you know? But this was definitely like obviously a joyous occasion. It felt like, okay, we passed that fuckery. Like we, you know, all the people that we wanted to see came back looking great. And it was funny, even just the stark contrast of Michelle Obama's fit from that to this was like all you really needed to see. Like she had her shit in a ponytail last time. Her face is twisted. Her lips is pursed up. Like this is some fucking bullshit. I hate this shit. Let's get the fuck out of here. She came in yesterday. Goddamn.
Dunting.
Like, nigga. Who won it? Who won it?
There was not a cool Marcel curling iron within 100 miles of the district yesterday. I'm just going to say. Everybody's hair was bouncing and behaving. Everybody's Michelle, right. Hillary, Kamala, yep. Jill. Everybody's hair had the cute ringlets, the volume. The wind was kissing it just word. Right. You know what I'm saying?
It was, yeah, she came and looked. Her and Barack came. I mean, Barack, you know, you look like Barack, but Michelle came in like, it was like almost like a gasp when they first showed her. Like,
yo, oh, they like shit. I had to say, I tweeted that sometimes I look at them and I truly understand how they are so triggering to racists.
Yeah.
Because they are stunning.
Yeah.
They emit grace. They look powerful. They look regal. And if you are determined to believe yourself better than Black people just by virtue of your whiteness, and that shows up on your screen,
you pissed off.
You're pissed the fuck off. Because yeah. That's really what is. Because honestly, it is jealousy. It's jealousy.
Yeah. And then they got the stats, like, you know, Harvard, yeah. Princeton, Columbia.
They are completely unbothered, and they are completely in fucking love. Like, yeah. They are partners. They're, and so when you see them, you can't find anything to criticize, which in and of itself bothers you, right? So I was looking at that like, I'd be mad as fuck at this shit too. Like, I'd be mad as hell because I can't be that.
Can't smart. Criticize it because there's nothing
yeah.
to criticize. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was incredible. Kamala, I liked her fit too. She came in, you know, looking good, you know, how. And there was two women. I don't know if they're congresswomen or something, but there were two AKAs up on there. And
there were two links. Okay.
They had the green on?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. And I don't know who they were, but they were there. They had the ivy flower on the mask. And it was at one point where Kamala just kind of looked at them. And she was looking at them like.
She was acknowledging
them. Yeah, yeah, definitely acknowledging them and just almost like, this shit crazy, right? Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, well, you fucking believe this shit?
At that point, what moved so many people, including me, was as Kamala came onto the dais when she stopped at the Obamas. And first, her and Michelle
did the fist bump,
her and Barack did the fist bump, but her and Michelle had the like, okay, hair, okay, yeah, coat, yeah, okay, yeah. Like the, yeah. You know, you can see just from the gestures, it was like the, yeah. you know, the, all that. It was, even though we couldn't see it close up, I could just tell that there was like a
you
lot.
You know what of it was? We knew it. We know our people, so we know what that was. We know what that
exactly. Was. And the fact that that was happening amongst these three Black folks, right?
Yeah.
And then Kamala's niece's boyfriend, how like the Dior ones?
Yeah, the Dior. He stopped the show with the Dior ones. It was that shit was like for you know for a nigga like me, you know.
Dude, I was like Jeffrey's so excited.
For a nigga like me, and you know, and there's many niggas like me, but for a nigga like me to see them Dior ones coming down because at first we just saw them coming down the steps. We didn't know who that was, and it was like, yo, wait, what? It was like, yo. We done made it, nigga. We in here. And then Biden's granddaughter
had on the Bumblebee
one. She had on the Sisterhood Air Force Ones, low top. I was like,
with a formal gown. Those two families are going to give us so much fashion. Like, I'm so excited about watching.
Because it's a lot of youth in the family.
It's a lot of youth. And Biden's grandkids, Biden's granddaughters be fly at
Their fits was fly yesterday.
Ooh, they
fly. The Neapolitan look.
Yeah.
Somebody said Jane is in the building. But it's like, they are always super fly. Jill is always super fly. Like, I'm just so excited that we have people that we can look to and actually be like, that's dope. I fuck with that.
Yeah.
I fuck with them. They're enjoyable. Even something as small as, just to jump back for a second, not Champ. They have two dogs, Champ and Major. Major Biden, one of their German Shepherds, is a rescue.
Okay.
The Delaware Humane Society had an inauguration for Major
a couple of
days before. Like, how cute.
Because Trump never had a dog.
He's the only president who never had a pet.
Yeah, because he don't
like
nobody. And
that might seem minimal, but it just speaks to
It's really not minimal.
Humanity. No, there was no joy in the White House. Exactly. Like, just look at the Christmas decorations. Right. The basketball court is down. The Rose Garden has no roses.
Yeah,
like,
It was
dystopian. Somebody said that they once like let Baron pet a puppy and Baron started crying because he knew he could never have a dog. You know what I mean? Like that type of shit. So if people didn't have a dog before they got into office, they got the dog when they got there. So it's like, but they told Trump to get one. Trump was like, for what? Well, I'm going to get it.
Yeah, fuck out of here. Yeah.
Fuck out of here. Anyway, so back
wait,
to
wait, the one more thing about the, one more thing about the sneaker thing, then I'm going to move on. Just because this is just a sneaker head thing. So I forget who, but somebody texted Mina Harris, who's Kamala's niece. She's heavy on Twitter. You should follow her because she's a good Twitter, Instagram follow. She's the one to be talking mad shit. And that's her husband. And somebody.
Boyfriend.
I think they're married. Are they married? Okay, well, partner, wherever it is. Anyway, somebody tweeted her and said, yo, I forget El Boy's name now, but they was like, yo, Mina, does whatever his name is have on the Dior Air Force Ones? And she tweeted back, yes, SMH. Like, yeah, this nigga's on the sneakers. I'm pissed myself. You know what I'm saying? So I just, that, and that's just something like, you know.
The girls had on fur coats with the Doc Martens with the dress. I was like, this is...
And those fur coats were custom from coats that Kamala and her sister had in a photo from when they were kids.
Didn't know that. So I love that. What did y'all think about J-Lo?
Okay, so my bad. Before we even get to J-Lo,
let's hold on J-Lo. Yes, let's do Gaga first because that was the order. Gaga then J-Lo. What do you think about Gaga? What do you think about Gaga's fit?
Gaga's look was giving me. I was like, Gaga's giving me Madonna as a Vita, like up with the.
Okay.
But
Were you mad at it though, or were you good?
I mean, she's Gaga, right? Like, I mean, she was being Stephanie, but that's about the most we can expect from her. But she was the most ornate person in the entire situation.
The big ass bird on it.
The bird, which by the way, shout out to Finesse Mitchell.
Yeah.
That was a great clip.
And watch the voiceover clip he did from the behind the scenes. That shit was so funny. But anyway, so I mean, I also thought her choices in the direction she took the national anthem were interesting. I didn't love the decision, but it wasn't.
You know,
bad.
God, that's not gonna do everything straightforward. It's just not who she is.
I did like that the arrangement was slower, but I just wanted her to hit it, and okay. I don't think she hit it in the places I wanted to hit it. Yeah,
I love that she matched the dove or eagle, whatever. She had a gold mic. She had gold earpieces. Like, she was like, this is going to be gold.
I appreciate the drama. I just, it was a little fussy for me. Like, okay. I just need you to come down the stairs. Like, can we tailor a foot off the front of your skirt so that you can get down the stairs and sing? Like,
but I will that was annoying to me. I will say this, that she definitely seemed to be very humbled by it. Like,
agreed.
Was very like,
agreed.
Yo, like, damn. And she's walking like, oh shit, they're with Obamas. Oh shit, they're with, like, oh shit. Like, you know, she definitely seemed humbled. What do we think about Jennifer?
I think
her team is incredible.
But I also think that whoever told her to throw that Let's Get Loud up in there did her a disservice. This is like, I get it. It's 2021, but this is the most formal part of the entire inaugural weekend.
It's almost sacred. And you just threw some shit in there.
Because that was a shout out to her people. Shout out to the Latin people.
She could have done that just with the Spanish speaking. You do not, like, you're in the middle of a transition from This Land Is Your Land to America the Beautiful. Let's Get Loud does not fit there. It just does not. It doesn't.
Sounds like some Will I Am shit.
Also,
like, it was a BEP shit. And I was just like, it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate, but B, it's also. It's also unnecessary. And see, it annoyed me because Jennifer came right after Kamala swearing in, I think. Whatever she came after, I remember I was choked up. Whatever it was, I was choked up, which just makes me think it was Kamala.
It probably was Kamala then, yeah.
I was choked up. Eyes was a little misty.
No. I think she came after Amanda. I think she came after.
No, Amanda came after. Amanda comes after the swearing in. She came after the swearing in.
Amanda was late in the program. Around the middle.
Okay.
Poet Laureate is one of the last things. But whatever it was, I was like, and I think it might have been after Kamala because that happens. It's like Kamala.
Kamala was early.
Yeah, and then like the inaugural address. And or it might have been between Biden getting sworn in and the inaugural address. It could have been one of those. Mm. And whatever it was, I was in a space. And she brought me out of that space. And that to me was unforgiving. Because it is meant to be a joyous moment, yes, but it is also meant to have some weight.
Some depth.
Some weight to it. Yeah. So that Let's Get Loud thing, I was like, also it ain't even your song. It's Gloria Estefan's song. But like, it's just it's not like you could have done that at one of the balls. You could have done that if you were performing at the concert later. It just wasn't for that.
What'd you think, bro?
Bust out laughing.
Bro, I did. I was like, I was worried she was about to go into a medley. I was worried this bitch was about to go into a medley.
Bro,
I was worried she was about to go into a medley. I was waiting for Get Right to start. Like, that's the place it took me to.
Bro, was you on the road? Were you on the road at that time?
Yeah.
I was at the restaurant.
Well, I was actually running errands, but I was able to pull up on my phone. So I was kind of in and out.
Okay.
I was out during the time when J-Lo came. I think I hit you guys. You know, God bless her. I'm really happy for her. But,
beautiful gowns. Okay.
Great gowns.
Inga, how you feeling?
Lovely gowns. Amazing.
How you feeling, Inga? Inga, how you feeling?
Good.
Oh, good. I'm just checking on you, baby. Just make sure you're all right.
Yes.
Biden's speech was very uplifting.
Let's not just call it uplifting.
No. I was going to get there.
Okay,
you skipped a whole bunch of shit, though.
No, we could bounce around. It don't have to be necessarily in order.
Okay.
I'm definitely going to get to Amanda. Biden's speech was just in contrast, like we said earlier, to what we saw last year, which was basically some shit you would see like in an Avengers movie or something.
I haven't fully absorbed the speech yet, just because I'm still so enamored by people with complete sentences and transparency that the whole message is not in me yet. I really enjoyed just hearing him speak and like feeling somebody passionate about what happens to America.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
nice to hear.
Yeah, as opposed to like, yo, we up in here, we're gonna tear this shit apart.
And also, and also, like, and as opposed to just delivering rhetoric, and that's what I was gonna say. What I do appreciate about Biden, and what frustrates me, that even people who, for whom he wasn't their candidate of choice, seem very unwilling to acknowledge, is that he is acutely aware of what's needed in the time we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he has not shied away from addressing it
at all,
at every turn. So what was unique about the inauguration speech was that it didn't gloss over shit. Like, he mentioned the insurrection. He mentioned, like, the space that we were in as a country. He mentioned the need to return to truth. Like, he didn't mention Trump by name, but it wasn't vague. Like, it was very clear, like, this shit almost fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
We about to bring it back. Whereas usually there's a more kind of civil, we're not going to really talk bad about the whatever. But, like, you know, he actually mentioned white supremacy.
Yeah.
You know, in the inaugural speech. And he addressed the people who did not vote for him directly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And said, even though somebody on MSNBC, who was the only place I watch coverage for stuff like this.
Yeah, I watch MSNBC too.
I want to say it might have been Nicole Wallace, or it might have been Lawrence, but you know, they said every inauguration, every big political ceremony, you know, people quote Franklin, they quote Lincoln, they quote the great past presidents, but all those quotes had different significance today, because 2 weeks ago we saw how fragile the democracy really is, right? And it's more poignant. So I think that, you know, Biden would really like, I will work in service to you, you know, not for gain, not for power. Mm-hmm. And I had just posted on Instagram about, like, joy coming in the morning, almost right after I posted that, he said that he did. We remain door for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Mm-hmm. And what you keep hearing of him over and over again is that Joe Biden is a decent man.
Yeah.
Joe Biden is a decent man. And while I understand that decency in and of itself is not enough, and it may lead to, you know, an overextension to the other side of the aisle, as Joe has been known to do, et cetera, we, as he later said when he was swearing in his appointees, decency has been missing from the White House.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
He was like,
if I hear about somebody, one of y'all being decent, I'm firing you on the spot.
Yeah, he was like, if you mistreat anybody, you just...
Yeah, it's over.
It's over. He did, he talked about George Floyd, you know, at length when he was swearing in. I appreciate that from day one, from that inaugural speech to the representation they had on that stage, to the fact that after they did all the ceremonial stuff, they all went to work.
Yeah.
Like, immediately.
Yeah,
right?
It wasn't like, let's go just tear up shit and party. He's like, no,
they went to fucking work. Like, we saw we saw Kamala preside over her first, you know, thing as president of the Senate. We saw
Joe signed executive orders, reversing executive orders.
So we had the first press briefing yesterday.
With questions.
And the very first thing she said was, when President Biden asked me to take this position, he talked about wanting to return truth and transparency to the press briefing. We know we need to rebuild trust.
Yeah.
It is a, like, people were on the news like, I forgot how these things were supposed to work.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we were reminded that the very first press briefing of the Trump administration was Sean Spicer lying about the size of the crowds.
That niggas could all see, like, bro, there's nobody standing there, bro.
Alternative facts was week one. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where we started. Yep. And now we got, like, it's just amazing. Like, I appreciate that they recognize that they needed to be very clear in the demarcation between administrations and be like, this shit is new. We starting all this shit over. We back to business.
Yeah,
like,
back to business. Because that shit was bullshit. You know, I definitely like the vibe. Inka, what did you want to talk about with the inauguration that we missed?
I forgot.
Did you want to talk about Amanda?
Amanda?
Oh, yeah. Where is, I probably could have Googled this, but where is she from?
From LA.
Her voice was so, that accent is perfect. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah.
She's from Los Angeles, but the reason that she speaks like that is interesting is because she had a speech impediment as a child.
Oh my God.
She had a speech impediment as a child, and she knew certain words and stuff she couldn't pronounce. So she has
really
to go through a lot of,
she has to go through a lot of speech magic. Therapy,
and that's why she speaks so eloquently and sharp like that, because she had a speech impediment.
There were so many like
ever.
Quotables and one-liners. It was perfect.
Did you see her interview with Anderson Cooper?
I saw a little piece of it.
Yeah, the nigga Anderson was looking at her like
magic.
Yeah.
Stars in his eyes, literally, like he was literally like, yo, you're awesome. Like, I don't even know. I can't even get through
and
this.
Then so super black girl, like giant ring, beautiful crochet braids mm-hmm. with the jewelry in them.
It also made me realize art and culture is coming back to the White House. Like, I had that moment, like, oh my God, we have an administration that is once again going to actually celebrate art, music, culture.
Yep.
All of that, like,
yeah, because when they went inside, I don't know what this is called, but they went inside and they were the Bidens were
the gifts presentation thingy.
The gifts, and one of the gifts was a painting that was painted by, and I don't know his name, but he was a slave actually, and he painted this painting of, you know, this kind of like this landscape kind of painting, this big rainbow and stuff, and I forget who presented it to him. Roy Blunt. I think it was Roy Blunt.
Okay.
I think it was Roy Blunt presented to him. And he was, you know, describing the painting and saying, you know, he was a slave, he was a former slave, he was a freed slave, and da-da-da-da. And so, like, right away they went into, like, the gifts and the art and the stuff, you know, all through it. And that was just a very joyous, uplifting service. I got to get my charger. Y'all keep talking.
So I don't know that I had seen, that's one of the things that's interesting about this like remote version of the inaugural day, is that there are certain ceremonies that smaller ceremonies that took place that I don't think either have been televised before or that I've bothered to pay attention to before, because usually
never seen a gift presentation covered on TV.
Usually one of the smaller things. Because usually we're waiting for the balls and the luncheon and the this and the that. So that was interesting. And one of the things I thought, I guess my logistical mind always goes to how much work it takes to execute a day like this. By the time they got to the gift presentation, they had a framed, matted picture of the inaugural ceremony to present to them, which I thought was incredible. Like, who had to run?
That is incredible.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel like the pieces of this that they do inside the White House probably normally come later, but there was no parade, like a traditional parade like we usually had,
they
where
had to fill some of those
walking things. For hours and hours in the street.
Exactly. So I think there was some more intimate details that we saw for how they, because it is a very long day. It's usually a very, very long day. The other thing that was, aside from the gift presentation, that was really notable about the day was that Trump is the first outgoing president in modern history to not be at the inauguration. Trump left the White House like 8 o'clock in the morning, which meant that leaving the White House, he still got to fly on Air Force One, because, you know, it's Air Force One if the president is on it. Usually by the time the presidents leave office, it's no longer Air Force One because the new president has taken over. He had a going away ceremony at Andrews.
Joint Base Andrews.
Where he gave like a whole speech and where he had fans. And I noticed that there was, and much like the, I think we might have taped already, I can't remember if we had taped already last week, but he did a video last week where he finally, I think it must've been in exchange for like, we about to hit Article 25 on your ass if you don't do this. There was the most coherent, the most on the script, the most serious speech he ever gave last week. He recorded to fully flat out condemn any type of violence done in his name, you know, period, and acknowledge the transition of power. And he had that same tone at Andrews when he was leaving, even though he was still saying we got so much done. He was actually thanking his family, he was actually acknowledging Melania, he was actually acknowledging his staff. But there was a moment where the fans were cheering and he just sat there, because you could tell he was like, I'm not gonna get this shit anymore. And it was almost awkward, like you could tell he wanted him to keep going. And they were petering out, like, all right, nigga, what? What you about to do? And he was just sitting there, but he can't be part of a moment that's not about him. So he had to have his own moment, leave. And so we had, but Pence, you could tell Pence is trying to, he's always tried to, you can tell, kind of like walk a line with Trump, because he knew there was some sticky shit there, and he was trying to like be able to have some, you know, deniable culpability or whatever when things were said and done. But he very much tried to step in and be the traditional statesman and follow traditional protocol as the person sending, as the person welcoming in the new administration, since Trump wasn't there. So instead of the first lady and the president, you know, seeing off the car of the outgoing president, it was Kamala and Doug, because it's the vice president, right? Like, it just changed so many things around. But Pence was trying his best, I think, to be gracious and to be, to basically acknowledge that, like, this was the new, you know, incoming.
Yeah, fuck that nigga, man. Fuck him. Fuck him and the fucking crew he was with. Fuck them 53 people that stood out there at Andrews like dumbasses. Fuck all the niggas. Fuck Melania. Fuck that bitch.
Fuck you, Melania. Even fuck though, her. But did you see the clip where they landed in Florida?
Yeah, she's like, I'm done, nigga.
She was like, I ain't got to do this anymore. Yeah.
Melania had, I've never seen
same dresses.
I've never seen Melania in flats. Melania had on her flat, like she probably had on them Hermes slides.
She had on the dashi.
She had on a Gucci caftan. She had on a Gucci caftan. She had her hair up. And when Trump stopped to like wave at the press and everything, her ass gave him a side.
Like, nigga, I'm getting in this car.
She didn't even break.
Yeah.
She didn't even break stride. Like, I believe that bitch had been drinking on the plane. She was like, I'm getting.
Something must have thought interesting, and I don't know, you know, what it means, if it even means anything, but I saw that New York. Another thing that they're doing, besides obviously about to charge this thing out the asshole and taking all his shit away, is they're deading the heavy security of Trump Tower. It's going to be.
But he's not going to be there.
I know, but it still was. He wasn't there now, but it was still looked upon as like maybe a danger zone. But they even now like, yo, fuck you, nigga. If just something happens to your shit, just something happens to it. Like,
I mean,
we're not spending 10 more cents on your punk ass.
Like, Trump is responsible for such, like, Trump has been such a drain on New York City finances.
Yep.
And I tell people who've never been to New York, Trump Tower is in the middle
literally
of a bustling retail section.
Yeah.
And he has impacted sales. He fucked the Gucci store up.
What's the name? Harry Winston's over there, right? Or Bendel's.
Bulgari's across the street.
Yeah. And Bendel's over
across
there,
the street. Mm-hmm. Bergdorf's is across the street. So, like, he's in the middle of, like, in Trump Tower was Tiffany, Nike Town, Acure, and Gucci. Those were in Trump Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Across the street was Bulgari. At one point, it was the Prada store, but then the Prada store moved around the corner.
Yeah, it was a Prada store. It was a big Abercrombie & Fitch store over there.
Abercrombie & Fitch was probably fine, because some white people probably...
Yeah, okay.
Trump Tower probably shopped there. Up a block is Henry Bendel. Down a block is Bergdorf Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
Around the corner is Chanel.
Christian Dior is around there.
Chanel, Dior, Prada.
I think Balenciaga might be around there too. Louis. Right. Louis's right on the corner.
Yeah, Louis's on the corner next to Bergdorf.
Right. Yeah, Louis's yeah. So he
and
was,
the Apple
it was,
store
it was,
is like another block away.
Yeah, the Apple store.
So there's a Cherneau. There's a Cherneau over there.
Oh, yeah, the Cherneau.
That's
what it is, Cherneau. Right.
That's like Cure. And then on the other side of Trump Tower is Lacoste and some other stuff. So it's like, and for me and Jeff, the Trump Tower entrance that Trump uses shares a street with the entrance we used to use for Sony.
Sony, yeah.
And fortunately, whoever this was genius. Sony, when Sony announced they were selling and moving, we had like 3 years before the building actually was vacated and moved. And it just so happened that Sony moved early 2016 before all this
before
shit.
Before that shit, yeah.
It was like, that was like who could have, that shit was the timing. Because they still haven't been able to finish it and put anybody back in it yet.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I still like to say, like, it's a heavy retail area.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally smack Midtown.
And around the holidays, of course, that shit is usually lit because of all the tourists.
And it's been
tourist. There will still be a heavy security presence over there. It won't be nearly what we've seen. But, and just FYI, those streets, literally the streets have been you know, ripped up. They're armored columns.
Oh yeah,
all sorts of things that like you can't drive on that street.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like they have to, it basically it's gated. Like you have to, in order to get down that street, you have to, they have to basically put the columns back in the ground and like lower some other.
Yeah, that's 56, right? Between 56.
Yeah,
it's a couple 56
barriers.
But they have to
because it's not, Trump is not a resident of New York anymore.
Oh yeah, well, not now. Yeah.
It doesn't, what I'm saying is this won't necessarily be because of Trump, but at this point that will be a hot spot that will become a, like the one thing New York can't really do is they can't ignore the fact that can be a problem, right? And the last thing you want and the last thing you need is sort of lack security because you're trying to prove a point and somebody drives a fucking you know, cargo van over there full of, you know, explosives.
Exactly. Right.
So you have to, so there will be some level of presence there. I don't think it's going to be Secret Service level of presence. There'll probably be some private security. I would have to imagine whoever insures that building, that shit has to skyrocket.
Absolutely.
At this point, because again, who do you hire? Like he might have to actually contract the NYPD. I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, we're, New York is totally done with him, and Mar-a-Lago didn't want him either. They was because I found out that apparently when he bought Mar-a-Lago, there was a it was a bylaw or something, but something in the contract said that he would never live there full time because Palm Beach.
It's a 21 day thing that he has in that in order to get the Mar-a-Lago property.
Yes.
Meaning he can't stay there more than 21 straight days.
Exactly.
He can't stay there except we're talking about Trump, and what he's going to do is he's going to stay there 20 days. He's going to go to a hotel in Miami and he'll come back.
Yep. Start the clock over.
He's going to figure out some fucking Deutsche Bank.
Takes that shit back.
Yeah, exactly.
They listen. That community can kiss my ass too. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys have fucking enabled him.
Yeah. Y'all made a bunch of money.
Y'all made a bunch of money over there. You spent a bunch of money to get his access and to be a part of that club. Okay. And yeah, I get it now. He's kind of bad for business and you don't want him. Well, guess what? You know, just the way the ball bounces, motherfucker.
Yeah, it is what it is. Y'all be all right.
Yeah, but, oh, one other thing I wanted to say about one of the last things Trump did on his way out was he extended, because we still have the impeachment trial, Ed, for Trump.
They're supposed to start that in February, by the way.
Okay, so we still have that.
Mitch said today.
And I'm actually hoping he's convicted, because I think we might have talked about this last week, because it means that they kill his pension and his Secret Service detail. But this is even more significant now, because the day he left, or like Monday night, he extended, I didn't even know he could do this, he extended Secret Service detail to all his kids and their family.
Oh, so fuck that.
14 additional people now that have full Secret Service detail that we got to fucking pay for.
Eric be all right.
They got to do that shit.
Lasa be all right. She be all right. She be good. She chill. She all right. So bottom line, it's a new day in America. We'll see where this goes. And some of you goof-ass niggas on social media, shut the fuck up. Niggas are already like, yo, he ain't doing nothing. Nigga, he been there a day.
And
nigga,
give them the 100 days. Like, at least give them the 100 days. Give them the 100 days.
They gave this nigga 36 hours and they complained.
Just let people enjoy things.
They were talking about the shit in December. And now the argument is, you know, okay, so
Where my stimmy at?
The stimulus. But also, you said you were going to give us $2,000 and now you're going to give us $1,400. Yes, because you already got $600.
Exactly.
So, and I'm arguing with this chick, like, this is not a lie. Because she was like, well, if I have two jobs and one job gives me $600, the other job doesn't get to give me $1,400. I was like, no, that's the wrong analogy. If you have one job and an outgoing boss only thinks you need a $600 bonus and the incoming boss thinks you need a $2,000 bonus and the outgoing boss gives you $600, that incoming boss is going to give you an additional $1,400 to make you whole. He's not going to give you a second whole bonus of $2,000. I don't understand why this is so difficult. People just
because niggas is dumb and niggas don't.
And that's why we're going to end up here.
The lack of just general, and I know bro will understand this shit. The lack of just general, the most basic 101 business practices
or niggas, civics. Motherfucker, civics.
You just don't get, nigga. You don't get $2,600. You get $2,000. That's it, however it comes to you.
Guess what?
Go ahead, bro.
You can get them niggas $2,600 cash in small bills. And guess what they're going to say? I need $3,000. Like, for certain people, man, it's just never going to be enough. And look, I get it. I don't want to be dismissive of the fact that $600 was a paltry sum. And in fact, I don't necessarily even think that $2,000 is enough. But what I'm saying is like, the way people are sort of like trying to reconfigure this, I just don't argue with those.
Yeah, keep it pushing.
You know, maybe you got the drop on me and I don't know shit.
maybe I'm dumb. So I want to finish up the show. I want to talk about real quick the black girls in Bali. So look at Inca.
Bali or Bali?
Is it Bali or Bali? Well, Bali's the shoe, right?
Yeah, Bali Sports Club. They went to the
Bali Sports Club.
Bali Sports Club wouldn't let me out of my contract. I'm still paying these niggas $38,000 a month.
Niggas keep taking my shit on the 7th.
Word. Fuck up my balance up. Now my Con Ed done bounced. I'm back on that because of Bali. Bali.
Man.
Inca, how you feeling, baby?
I'm good.
All right, just checking on you, baby. That's what makes sure she's all right.
I know, he blow you up so crazy.
I just want to make sure she's all right, you know? We miss Inca. We miss her. So,
Bali, Indonesia. Y'all got the black girls deported.
Let's get into it real quick. So, there's a woman named Christina Gray. I don't remember what her partner's name is, and I'm looking up now, but...
I think it's Chandra Alexander.
Okay, Chandra Alexander. So they are two beautiful black women, a lesbian couple, and they decided to move to Bali because they weren't, I think Christian was the kind of like the catalyst for the move. It's just that she wasn't happy here. She wasn't happy with her life. She was not, according to her, being like healthy, eating-wise, and you know, just a lot of depression, what was going on here in America with Trump and all the races, everything just kind of was collapsing on her. And so
Add financial. That was a big part of
financial too. Yes. Absolutely. And please, you know, interject when I'm going off track. So she decided to move to Bali. Her girlfriend, you know, said, okay, let's do this. And they were going to go for just, what's it? 1 month or
6 months?
6 months initially.
6 months.
They weren't planning on staying there. It was a 6 month visa, correct?
Correct.
Yes. So they had 6 months visa to go over there, kind of live, decompress, get healthy, get clean.
Their story at this point was that they did not plan on staying.
Yes. That's what they say. That's what they say. So they went over there. Bali's a much cheaper country to live in. Apparently, there's like a not big, but there's a little bit of an expat
community.
Black community. It's like some black folks that moved over there from other.
There's
places
a large
too.
Black Australian contingent that lives in Bali.
Okay, because they showed a couple pictures with a bunch of people they had met, and they eventually met some people and made some friends and had some relationships. They had a woman who I guess owned a restaurant there who became like a second mom to them and. You know, they were enjoying themselves. They started taking yoga. They went to a vegan lifestyle. They're eating healthy. They're living on the beach. They're
living
great. Not good.
In a treehouse.
In a treehouse. Chilling. And the, you know, from all signs from the Instagram pictures and stuff was beautiful. And so they posted on IG, Christina posted on IG that, you know, how great it was. And she, you know, again, correct me if I'm going on track here, but basically encouraged people to come on over. Like, look,
this was her first mistake because, again, y'all got to stop dry snitching on the motherfucking internet.
Yeah, it's not really her or anybody's place. It's not just her to go to another country and tell people to come on over.
Encouraging people to come. But writing a full ebook on how to skirt the system
yes.
and do it kind of improperly because yes. the visa was overstayed and they weren't paying taxes.
Yes. And something of now.
Which means you're taking from the community and not giving back.
And they jumped in. Right. Now, tell me that there was a reason that they thought they were cool with extending the visa. Was it based on COVID?
Well, her visa was extended. And technically, from what I've read, technically, she had not overstayed her visa.
Yes.
She had extended her visa.
Yes.
But yes, that was just a mere sort of technicality. And I believe that visa was like coming up. I think it was over like the 24th of January. Like that's
really
how
soon.
Sure. It was. Yeah. You got to go.
It's time to start packing. So,
yes.
Like Inka said, she wrote an ebook that they were charging people, I believe, what, $50?
It was $30 for the ebook. $30 okay. for everything I've read.
Okay.
It was $30 for the ebook. And there was also a consultation. There was a consultation business
yes.
in which she
on how
would
to come
then
over.
Connect them. Yes, but not how to come over properly. This was a consultation to talk them through how to circumvent the black and white rules of entering the country.
Yes.
Particularly since there was a heightened alert for them to not for people to not come into the country
because of COVID.
Based on COVID. Yes.
And Bali obviously is not a very rich country, so they don't have, they obviously have, healthcare and hospitals and stuff like that, but it's not like they have a wealth of that. So they are really tight on trying to control the COVID over there because they could be overwhelmed quickly in their hospital systems or in their healthcare systems. And so these gals.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I want to highlight that because that's important that, like you said, they're a poor country. They don't have a wealth of resources. So that was what was particularly egregious about this is that it's a woman who's admitting they do not pay taxes, right? But they're taking advantages and putting a strain on essentially
the system,
the limited resources.
The lawyer's argument was, in my opinion, it was a very technical one, which was they had not been paid in the local currency. Thus they should not have been paying taxes. However, and again, I don't know how, I don't know how technical that is. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah,
I've never lived in Bali. But that's what he's saying. So, I mean, I'm sorry, that was the statement.
I bet you Russell
so we had never been paid. Yes, we hadn't been paid in this currency. Thus, there's no transaction for us here to have paid taxes. However, what that means is there's a transaction somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, and you will absolutely be paying taxes to motherfucking Uncle Sam. You can rest assured.
Yeah, somebody gonna get money.
They coming.
Yeah,
somebody. They coming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
I bet Russell Simmons has cut many a check to the Bali.
You're fucking right, because he ain't trying to
whatever the fuck. You're
fucking right, like, he ain't trying to get expedited because if he get expedited, it's finished. So, so they posted all this on Instagram and their beautiful life. I remember when the post first went up, I didn't obviously know this was going to be the outcome, but I was just like, oh, wow, these girls really went over there. They chilling. The initial post was like, damn, it looks nice. I'm saying, I mean, you know, me on some old black man show, I was like, oh, they a couple? They're both beautiful black girls. I was just like, oh, they went over there chilling, like on some French right. shit. And then I was like, oh, no. Oh, they kissing and shit. Oh, okay. Oh, well, cool shit. You know, they over there doing their thing. You can leave me alone. So they over there doing their thing. But then they ended up, all this kind of hit the fan. And then what happened was, this is another part that I left out that's extremely important. Is that, again, being a lesbian couple, they were talking in their stuff, in their Instagram posts and everything about how welcoming Bali is to the LGBT community. And the LGBT community in Bali was like, fuck out of here. It's cool for you
because you're
Americans. Exactly. Right. But for us, Bali's a Muslim country, by the way. Many of those countries in Indonesia.
I think Bali particularly is majority Hindu, but they're super conservative. They actually have the government actually they're implementing conversion therapy.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, wow. Like that's how, like, that's the level of conservative we're talking about, which is why so many people were up in arms about how you've really sort of heightened this awareness.
Yeah.
And made it seem like, and this in fact is part of what they are using as the reason to deport her.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Is basically saying you're not, you know, you're making this, it was something like a public environment nuisance or some shit like that, that they're basically claiming to get her out of there. And look, she's gone. She's not out there anymore.
Yeah, she's out. And I think the girlfriend's soon to follow.
No. They was on the plane together. We gonna double back, my nigga. None of that.
Like, okay. Within 24 hours of the thread. Like, out of there.
Yeah, out of there.
24, 24C, 24D.
That was on the plane. grab your sandwiches and shit, because we don't serve on this plane. You know
what
I'm saying?
Back what you can.
Back what you can and get the fuck up out of here. Well, you'll ship the rest. So they got them up out of there. That was a huge factor that the locals in Bali really went on the internet after they posted all this stuff and really kind of, I don't want to say turned on them. That might not be the right term, but definitely like went at them like, yo, turned on them the right term?
Let me say this. There was, to me, they were right in their feeling. I'm not suggesting that they were wrong in their feeling. Mm. I will also not ignore that it felt very anti-Black. A lot of the remarks I felt.
It felt like an excuse to bring the anti-Black.
Yes. And so both things could be true.
I think both things are, right. I think both things are true. I think both things are very true. And also there was also anti, you know, LGBT stuff in there too. Like, yo, y'all shouldn't be here anyway, kind of thing. So, so they're gone. And this was just a very interesting story. And
I want to add that there was a takeaway with me from this, and I always talk about when my mom's would drop jewels on me. Mm. And you know, one of the things I remember her telling me young was like, you know, don't make everything you do in life to be about a dollar.
Very,
and
very true.
We've gotten to the point that everything we do
has to be
transactional. It has to either be a monetary exchange or a favor exchange. There has to be some level of bartering, like you owe me now, you're indebted to me, or you know, nothing is done with, like, at first it seemed like a very small, innocuous thread, right? Like a woman just expressing that she was having a great time. Mm-hmm. Except the more you read it, the more tone deaf it sounds.
And if you
could literally take what she was saying and swap out like Bed-Stuy for Bali,
right?
And put white folks in there, right? And it's the same shit.
It's a gentrifier. You know what I'm saying? She was a gentrifier.
Yo, when you look at what the average salary was, even compared to what they were paying, I believe the average minimum wage there is like $177 per month. Mm-hmm. Per month. So that means that their $400, which is peanuts for them, right? Mm-hmm. Which is not a lot of money. You can get somebody to wire you $400.
Mm-hmm.
That is double just in rent what it would cost an average person to live there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to operate with this sort of like horse with blinders and, you know, everything she said when she listed those things, none of that stuff was about building a community.
True.
It was all me, me, me. There was never a connection to the people there. Even when you look at her circle, there were Black people. They found their tribe in their space. Mm-hmm. They did not adapt to the community that was already there.
Yeah.
And I just think it was, I think it was tone deaf. I think it was misguided. I don't think that I don't know this young woman. I didn't get the sense that she was like a malicious person, but you have to understand. And this is something that, you know, all of us do when we go to these islands and when we go on vacation, like we have to grapple with driving past these really, really fucking terrible places to get to our beautiful resort. And what that means. And when we go to these other countries and sort of that, you know, just sort of the American shit that we have with us, you know what I'm saying? With the expectations, the entitlement, the things that we think, and we do have those things, you know what I'm saying? I felt really bad for the people that she really made it hot for, which in my opinion are
people. Other motherfuckers about to get deported too.
Not even just deported, but just like you made life more uncomfortable. Yeah. And there's a clear resentment. I also think Bali has to grapple with the fact that their economy is what it is, and they're absolutely dependent on tourism.
Yeah.
And they have to, like, there has to be some sort of give and take, sort of in the way I think Jamaica does.
Yeah.
Like there's a clear,
Mexico.
You know, there's a clear off limits. Don't fuck with the tourists. That's what keeps everything moving from the great hotels to selling weed, right? Like all of that shit. There's an ecosystem here and we all have to kind of figure out our way. Yeah. I mean, you gotta grapple with the fact and look. I get it. People don't want to hear about that shit. You leave in LA because you spent $1,300. First of all, where did you find a studio for $1,300 in LA? Because I would like to know that. I was like $1,300 for a studio. Like, did that come with heat and hot water?
You got a problem spot with that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
So,
Sean, you're right that we have to. I think one of the things that 2020 has called for is that we have to be, as we are calling on other people to really be aware and conscious of how they interact with us, we have to hold ourselves in check that same way from our privilege. Like if we are always talking about keeping the more marginalized in mind, that's exactly what you're talking about when you're going to Bali. Like the reason it's such a better quality of life for you is because you are significantly more privileged than the people who live there.
Exactly.
You
know?
So
we can do that, and not even to cut you off. We do that shit on the timeline monthly with the North and South.
Yeah.
Without fail.
All day.
That shit happens. Yeah, nigga, you spending, you know, people have this misconception that they're going to go down South and they're going to get a motherfucking 2,200 square feet, four bed and two bath for $350. Right.
Five bedrooms, three bathrooms for $150,000.
Yeah, and everybody down South, think everybody in the North lives in a fucking box for six G's. Like, it's just, it's like, we, you know, so yeah, we do the same thing. And a lot of motherfuckers come from up North, they go down South and they operate with that bullshit. Same level of privilege.
Yeah.
And they operate with that same sort of.
Yeah, y'all niggas is country and I, you dumbass niggas and da 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 da. Yeah. So I just found it to be a fascinating story. I'm expecting a book or something from this gal because she's very enterprising.
Well, she already wrote a book. She has a book, right? She wrote a book. And that's what got her ass.
Got her ass the fuck up out of Bali.
She needs to stop writing books. She needs to go figure out. I guess she was going on a journey to find herself. And look, God bless her. She's 28. She's not, you know, that to me, you know, she's not a kid.
She's not old, right?
Like she's, you know, again, she's trying to figure out her life. And again, I totally get it. And I don't want to be dismissive of wanting the desire to, you know, work for yourself and be an entrepreneur. But if, you know, is being an entrepreneur putting you in this position?
Yeah, I don't know.
You might want to rethink
a lot of shit.
What you're doing.
Yeah, so we're going to wrap it up on that note. I totally forgot that Keisha Cole and Ashanti versus this tonight.
Yeah, it does.
Versus is right.
Nah, we good.
Yeah. No, they're not there yet.
And they put Bernie in the chair, though.
Oh my God.
We didn't even talk about that. Shout out to Bernie.
This is like eight, like, wasn't they supposed to do this shit in like June last year?
Well, it was definitely last year.
Supposed to be,
It's
an hour and a half late.
So I don't know. What are we doing?
How you?
Yeah.
Where you at?
And y'all ain't. And neither one of them is that hot. That motherfucker's gonna wait around. People's gonna start watching other shit. You know, I'm probably gonna watch NBA and then finish.
Swiss still gonna tell you,
nigga. We did $3 billion.
We had $600 million,
nigga. Also, 1 trillion streams and by the end of the night, nigga, we crushed it.
The warm-up DJ is the worst DJ on earth, this is according to the timeline. So
this is a fucking disaster. So
I'm going to bed.
Yeah, I hear you. Shit. All right, Inga, you feeling all right?
I hate you so much.
All right, y'all. We're going to wrap it up on that note. We'll see y'all next week, and hopefully we got brighter days ahead. And wear your mask, goddammit.
Wear your mask still, goddamn.
Ain't shit changed.
Ain't shit changed. But the weather.
All right,
y'all. Later. All right.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got 3 ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast.